Right on. Well, Jason Galantz joins me, the director, founder, I gather, of Muddy Roots, which is, I believe, in its 10th anniversary festival,
right? Yep, 10 year for the festival.
Coming up at the Junebug Ranch in Cookeville, Tennessee, if I've got my facts correct, August 29th to the 31st. How am I doing?
To September 1st.
To September. It goes all the way through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This intrigued me at several levels. One, that it's a major Middle Tennessee event that's having an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's obviously a lot that goes into this in terms of defining the image and the vibe and the you know, the probably a very self-selected group that's come and become a loyal tribe mm-hmm. over time. It looks more tribe-like than some other festivals. So why don't I ask you to sort of begin with the beginning? And I know there's also a lot of other Muddy Roots events. You're sort of a full production operation.
Yeah, we have events all across the U.S. and in Europe.
Yeah.
But it started
with... So when did
this
go back to?
In 2009, I had been in here in Tennessee for about 4 years. Didn't know too many people. So I'd just been listening to a lot of bands that didn't tour through town. And I figured the only way they were going to come was if I literally booked them, found a spot for them to play, and then try to get people to come to it. So I started hosting shows here in Murfreesboro, actually, on the square, and also in East Nashville. Mostly in East Nashville. And from that point on, within like 6 months, I thought, man, it would be kind of cool if all these bands came together. Now, nobody really knew these bands, so when we did plan our first year, it wasn't incredibly well attended. It was like 336 tickets.
Okay. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And now we've grown to, you know, international, multiple boutique festivals. None of them are meant to be huge.
Right. How many folks does Muddy Roots draw then?
It'll be a few thousand campers.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your background in promotion or in music, as a player and concert promoter and
right.
maybe DJ. I don't know.
Yeah, I do DJ. I can't play music. I've never even learned. I'm not very good at doing, you know, counting the beats and matching everything up. But I love music. So really, for me, it's really more about how the music makes you feel as opposed to like how well, like how intricate or mathematical someone's playing. I love music deeply. I can't play it. So I figured the only thing I can do is if I can try to promote and try to like help build other people that do. So basically, I find smaller bands that are really great and try to get them to have a bigger fan base.
All right. You said you moved here from California?
I did.
And had you started creating shows there?
Sort of. I grew up going to, like, I grew up with a lot of different influences, for one. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally everything from, like, heavy metal to, like, gangster rap to raves, everything. I had friends that were in everything. I would go to all their shows. And so we started doing, back then, it was in the 90s, there was, like, a big kind of party crew scene where groups of, like, we'd start our own club, basically, if you wanted to kind of dork it down a little bit. And we would all maybe go rent a club, book a bunch of DJs and flyer shows.
Yeah.
You know, so we had our own scene of that, a lot of dancing. So my first large show was when I was 19, where we rented out a skate rink. And I had like hardcore bands in one room. I had underground hip hop in another, and then drum and bass in a third. It was like pretty intense. But I guess even then, when I look back, that showed even at that point that I liked mixing up genres. I didn't want to do one specific one that's kind of not natural to me and kind of boring.
Yeah. When you got to Middle Tennessee, did you look around and find just a culture that was so radically different than the gang that would have gathered for an event that you did? Did you have to sort of go figure this out from scratch? Or how did you orient to this very different just sociology?
Yeah, it is completely different. Totally different culture. And to be honest with you, it's not really Middle Tennessee people that come to my events, like in large masses. It's at the same time social media boomed and connected me to other people that love the same bands I love around the world. And that's kind of really more who comes to my festivals. And majority, there are locals, of course, and we grow and grow and grow and grow, but the culture here, not everyone goes to shows. They don't go to the shows I go to. And there's too many shows. So that kind of speaks to the Nashville market where it's just so saturated. I mean, there's probably like 50 bands playing at all times. And if you're not already there, then you're maybe kind of jaded. It's like, you know, you're not going to get excited because maybe Alice Cooper comes down and plays the basement. So it takes a whole lot more to get you excited to come out of the house. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's basically it. We have people that come from around the world, and then that actually gets people's attention more than going to like a local place and trying to drum up locals.
Well, take me to the origins of Muddy Roots, including the name and what you were trying to achieve when you first planted a flag here.
Okay. So on that one, the music I was into at that time was specifically kind of leaning towards roots, but coming from people that didn't grow up listening to maybe bluegrass or country or blues or anything. Maybe they grew up skaters or metalheads or punk rockers or whatever, but now they're kind of playing roots music. None of it ever fit because it was all influenced by multiple genres. It was everything in between genres. And so at that time, I was telling my brother, he lives in California still. I said, man, I want to start doing shows. I got to come up with some type of like name so that it sticks with the branding. And I was literally kind of explaining, I was like, yeah, it's like roots music, but like it like blended with other genres. And he was like, it's like muddy. It's like Muddy Roots. And so he came up with a name.
Right.
And I thought, mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's better than the stuff I was coming up with.
it was about the same time. I mean, we created Music City Roots as a pure roots show, Americana roots, sort of the themes that had emerged out of festivals like Merle Fest or Strawberry or and some radio stations like WNCW in North Carolina. And there was a kind of way that we who are involved in it and in Americana for these past 20 years have thought about roots music. And what's cool is this festival and its lineup challenges that narrow definition of roots. Because you've got hip hop, you've got metal, you've got gothic stuff, kind of just stuff that's got sort of this dark gothic edge. And you know, the aesthetic's really, really interesting. But you clearly have proven that it works. In fact, your website, like the key illustration is a woman in a cowgirl outfit dancing with like a biker making, you know, metal horns with his hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're square dancing, but they're like metalheads and punk rockers.
So does that sum up what somebody would expect to come out this weekend?
Sort of. I think when we look back at this time and what Muddy Roots has become, not necessarily the company, but what it means to people and how it's kind of created its own community, I think people will look back and see that we were like the fringe of the roots scene, you know, like the bridge to others, as opposed to just like neo-traditional. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we still have had, you know, like Del McCurry and Ralph Stanley and Ramblin' Jack and Peter Rowan and just all of these old school musicians, and they come there, and although it's not a strictly traditional crowd, they were like an explosive reaction. They were actually surprised. Even if you look up Ralph Stanley, Muddy Roots, there's a video of him on a flatbed truck under a tent, which he was on that stage because the main stage got rained out that time. You look in the crowd, you see like people with tattoos and everything. They're like crying, they're singing, the song ends and they erupt into like, you know, an explosion, and you see him get startled for a second. He's like, whoa. So, I guess, yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's an important role to play in the world of culture, is to bring worlds like that together and surprise a performer with a new audience or vice versa. I think that's really very, very valuable.
It's got a like an evangelical tone to it. We like to take one music and preach it out to others and then find that common ground.
Nice. Tell me a little more about what you think your audience or you or your close team and the people that you consult to put this together kind of feel about country music and its story, its history, the way it's been inclusive or exclusive, the way it's been, you know, rural and then citified and suburbanized. And it's a while, because I mean, that's what I've spent my last 20 years as a writer thinking about, is, you know, what to do with this amazing American story called country music. Any thoughts on the big sweep of it?
I would say that a lot of my crowd and a lot of my team are probably a lot more knowledgeable on specific dates and facts and performers. But one common theme, or so basically, like, the Muddy Roots crowd loves traditional country music. Mm-hmm. Not so much anything new unless it's coming from like an organic place, you know, like the Margot Prices and the Sturgills and the everyone that's blowing up right now. Yeah. But when it comes to the old stuff, I mean, they'll know every tune. They'll know the whole story. And I think it speaks to what the songs and the music are truly about.
Yeah.
You know, like the life experience of the average, you know, working class or poor person out on the street, either or. So it transcends. It kind of like carries the same theme. And it comes from it. One thing that we're always preaching is, say you're into rock and roll, well, you have to look at the roots of that. You know, where does it come from? There's different like strains of it, but it all comes from country or pre-country, hillbilly, Appalachian, like all these different forms of that music mixed with blues music. You know, it's the coming together of two cultures to create rock and roll and rockabilly, and then it moved on from there. Mm-hmm. So it's just all about that natural progression.
Nice. We'll talk a little bit about the other events that Muddy Roots has spawned over the years and a little bit of the story of why you began to reach out as far as Europe. What happened to the company and to you that said, oh, let's grow this?
It's funny you say that. The first two Muddy Roots festivals I mentioned before were real small. It was like 330 people, then like 760 people. A great way to go into debt quick. I mean, I was working at a print shop at that time, so it wasn't like we've never had investors. It was all 100% independent. And at that time, I was a little bit kind of bitter that more locals didn't come out. Now, I get, looking back at how events work, it's like, okay, you know, there's marketing and maybe it doesn't fit certain tastes and all that stuff. But at that time, more people from Europe would fly over, find their way from Nashville all the way out 90 miles to Cookeville than any locals would come. So we had more Europeans than Nashvillians or even Cookeville people. And so I was kind of like, you know what? These people work so hard to get here and enjoy our show. Let's do one in Europe. And I literally posted on Facebook, who has property in Europe that will let me do a Muddy Roots festival? And two people from Belgium were like, I would let you do it. One of them had 4 acres. The other one didn't. And he owned like an American steakhouse on the property, which is funny but it's actually delicious, but just the fact that there's American Steakhouse in Belgium. And so I had never even been to Europe.
Yeah.
And we would just talk on Facebook every day, trying to figure out what are the rules, what do we have to do. I had to set up a company in Belgium in order to do business there. And we pay their taxes and follow all their rules. Well, that's kind of weird. But that's how Muddy Roots Europe started. And we just did, was that our 8th year? Yeah, I think we just did our 8th year there. Mm-hmm. This June. And I fly over time. Mm-hmm. Now, other than that, we've done Blues Festival, Muddy Roots Juke Joint down in Clarksdale, Mississippi. We did that a few times. We have one called Southern Gothic, which is like dark Americana. That's in Adams, Tennessee, where like the Bellwitch folklore comes from. The Spring Weekender in Indiana, which is just out in the woods. In town, we do other events that are not Muddy Roots. They're Muddy Roots by brand or by name, but they don't fit the rock and roll aesthetic. And that is a vintage wine train.
Mm-hmm.
Now that one will put like 40s and 50s sounding like country western or like jazz type bands. And they will go on the train and perform while people are drinking wine. We just like to do anything that's old school type. So right now we have 21 events planned up until next June.
Really?
Yep.
Amazing. So you got out of the print shop, I expect. This is probably a full-time gig for you, or no?
Yeah, I have like 4 jobs. I'd still own a merch company, but I've partnered with Merch Kitchen in Nashville.
Okay.
And so he handles all my merch orders, because merchandise is a huge part of music, so it's still integral. And I'm actually a realtor by day.
How about that?
Because we planned a family, and at that point I was thinking, okay, I need something that's just for the family and let the music be itself.
Oh, yeah.
So I plan festivals at night. I sell houses in the morning.
Very nice. Did you mention the Music Valley Jamboree?
I did not mention that.
Coming up in November. There's so many. which always strikes me as great. That sounds like a great blast of crazy to descend on the Gaylord Hotel operation, but it's a blast. And that is kind of a rockabilly, hillbilly music kind of throwdown.
Right. So the main one, so we do the Nashville Boogie Vintage Weekender, mm-hmm. and that one is the large one that we've done at the Opryland Hotel and the Nashville Palace for the last 5 years. We've even taken over the Grand Ole Opry House as part of that, as like our big headliners. Yep. It's meant to be a celebration of mid-century American music and culture. So it could be anything from 40s to 60s, mostly 50s, which is like where the birth of rock and roll came from. A lot of country western, a lot of rockabilly. Next year, we've actually decided to downsize it and only do it at the Palace. So instead of like 5,000 people, we only want 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a western fashion show that's part of it. There's a car show. And then there's a mini version of that called the Music Valley Jamboree. And that is this November.
I got it. November 8th and 9th.
Right? Yes. Yeah. So, and that one's like a mini version of it. That's basically just going to be a couple hundred of us dancing. There'll be DJs. There'll be bands.
Hmm, cool.
Half rockabilly. And I say rockabilly, it's actually way more than that. There's like rhythm and blues. There's soul. I just say rockabilly because that's the crowd that holds on to that the most. And then there's country western bands.
Right. Well, let's just circle back to Muddy Roots coming up real soon here this weekend. The bands that jumped out that we play, Sarah Shook, wonderful country with a great attitude. Mike and the Moon Pies, who just mm-hmm. released a really stellar album with strings and a whole cool new arrangements for them. Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. Anybody else in the countryside? But then bigger picture, just give the folks the big pitch.
Yeah, okay. So there are about a dozen country-ish bands, and you mentioned a few of them,
yeah.
or Americana. This event has changed every year as far as like what we want the whole theme to be, which is a terrible business idea. You're supposed to pick one theme and compound it every year, but our theme has been to not be the same. So although we have had super rootsy years, this year is a lot of punk rock and metal. So we've, and even GZA from Wu-Tang, which is a new one for us. Who we just booked? The Dead Kennedys, some UK punk bands, some UK metal bands. There's, Orange Goblin. There'll be about 80 bands total. But then also, we wanted to start including more locals. So in East Nashville, where we started, there's the Duke's Bar, which where I DJ every few months. I say DJ, they just let you play records and they give you beer and stuff. So that's fun. They have their own DJ tent at the festival. The Crying Wolf, they're known for their big pool parties in their backyard. They're bringing their entire pool party out. Just a lot of, kind of mixing it up. So you'll see a lot of roots, but then you'll see a lot of higher energy bands, about 80 of them.
That's great. And how many stages?
There will bands. Be four stages and a DJ tent.
Right on. Wow. Good scale. All right. Well, that's coming up, starting Thursday, August 29th in Cookeville. Go have a look and a listen. Jason Gallants, thanks for the time.
Appreciate you.